The Watson Weekly podcast is sponsored by Avalara. For e-commerce brands, tax compliance gets more complicated with every new channel, state, product, and market. Avalara Agentic Tax and Compliance helps automate the work behind the scenes so merchants can deliver a smoother customer experience with accurate tax calculation at checkout, clearer visibility into tariffs and duties, and fewer surprises for customers when their order arrives. Avalara works with e-commerce platforms like Shopify, BigCommerce, WooCommerce, and more, helping teams manage compliance faster and scale with more confidence. To learn more about Avalara's e-commerce compliance solutions and explore resources built for growing e-commerce brands, go to avalara.watsonweekly.com for more details. It's June 8th, 2026, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Amazon moves Prime Day to June, FedEx freight spinoff, Anthropic's IPO filing, and ShipStation Global, what this merger actually means. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. On June 11th and 18th, I will be hosting a Shopify Enterprise webinar series with operators who talk real. The series is sponsored by Avalara and Domain. To register, go to watsonweekly.com/events. This is not sponsored by Shopify and will contain content that executives and founders will want to hear. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, Amazon Prime Day moves to June. Amazon moved Prime Day, and after 10 straight years of owning mid-July, they're running it June 23rd through 26th this year. 4 days. They confirmed it this past Tuesday. And the official reason? The World Cup and the 250th birthday of the United States. Sure. I've been doing this a long time, and the first thing I do with any Amazon announcement is to put the press release down and look at the calendar. Q2 ends June 30th. Prime Day used to land in July, which is Q3. Slide it up 1 week, and suddenly the demand books before the quarter closes. Last year's event drove $24 billion in spending across U.S. retail, and a big chunk of that is Amazon's. That's not a tribute to the founding fathers, that's a P&L decision. So here's kind of what's going on, I think. Consumer confidence is soft, gas is up, groceries are up, and households are pulling back a little bit. The conference board has been flashing yellow for months, and when your shopper is nervous, you don't sit around waiting for July. You grab the demand while it's still in the building. Now watch where Amazon is pointing the discounts to. Not TVs, not the usual fire hose of gadgets. Jamil Ghani, Amazon VP of Prime, told CNBC the focus this year is groceries and household essentials. Produce, meat, hot dog buns for a dollar, half off some personal care. So think about that for a second. The biggest manufactured shopping holiday on the internet and the hero deal is a dollar pack of buns? That tells you exactly who Amazon is scared of. It's Walmart. Walmart's e-commerce contribution to sales is roughly doubling. Their under 3-hour delivery grew more than 60% last fiscal year, and they own the grocery run. Amazon dragging Prime Day onto Walmart's turf, stocked with Walmart's products, is kind of the whole story. And the part no one's saying out loud? By jumping to June, Amazon forces everybody else to move too. Target, Best Buy, Walmart, they all build counter promotions around Prime Day. And Amazon just yanked the anchor date forward. This isn't a gift to shoppers. That's setting the board. So if you sell on Amazon or compete with it, two things. First, that June inventory and ad budget you mapped out for July, it's a lot closer now. Two, the game just changed from best deal to best grocery adjacent value. And that's the lane Amazon is defending here. The World Cup, I don't think, moved Prime Day. The quarter did. The nervous consumer did, and maybe even Walmart. Our second story, FedEx Freight spinoff. Today, I want to talk about one word, and that word is leapfrog. That's what John Smith, the new CEO of FedEx Freight, told CNBC this week. The spinoff, he says, is going to let the company leapfrog its competitors. And it's kind of a big word, but we'll see if it holds up. So here's what happened. Monday, FedEx Freight started trading on its own under a new ticker, FDXF. Smith rang the bell at the New York Stock Exchange. Cameras, smiles, the whole thing. And then the stock closed down about 7% on day one. Now, I'm not going to pretend one bad trading day means the strategy is wrong. It doesn't. Spinoffs are messy, the first session is noisy, and investors are still figuring out what this thing is even worth. JP Morgan basically said as much. They didn't expect it to trade at a discount until it proved itself. So you don't actually pair the word leapfrog with a 7% haircut on your debut. But on the bull case side, there is one. As part of old FedEx, this business got starved. It was a line item inside a giant logistics conglomerate, and the capital went where the parent wanted it to go. Now the LTL business controls its own money. Smith's argument is that every dollar he raises goes into LTL-specific stuff. Customer technology, a bigger dedicated sales force. They've been hiring hundreds of specialists. That's a real argument. Focus companies often do beat sprawling ones. Old Dominion built the best margins in the industry by doing one thing and doing it relentlessly. Which does bring me to the actual question. The target is a 15% operating margin by 2029. They're roughly at 12 today. So we're talking 3 points of margin over 4 years in a soft freight market against Old Dominion, XPO, and ArcBest, who are not exactly sitting still. That's not leapfrogging. That's catching up. And catching up is fine. It's a great plan, I guess. It just wish the language matched the math. Now, the one thing that did make me sit up, autonomous trucks. FedEx has been running self-driving tests between Dallas and Houston for 2 years. Smith says the driver almost never touches the wheel. His view is the technology already works and the only thing holding it back is regulation. If he's right, that's the real lever, not a faster sales pitch. And that's the thing that could actually change the cost structure. So where do I land? I do think the spinoff is the right move. Focus is good. The margin goal is reasonable and maybe even conservative. But leapfrog is a promise. And right now, it's doing a lot of heavy lifting for a company that just spent its first day going the wrong direction. Let's see 2027, and then we'll talk about who jumped over whom. Our third story. Anthropic's IPO filing, what the headline isn't telling you. Let me save you the breathless version. Anthropic filed for an IPO, and everyone's calling it a trillion-dollar AI moment, which what actually happened, the word doing all the work in the headline is confidentially, and most people are skipping right past it. A confidential filing is not a prospectus. It lets a company begin preparing for a potential public offering without publicly disclosing detailed financial information, risks, or other internal business details. No share count, no price, no audited financials. Anthropic will evaluate the IPO privately and without the critical eye of the public. So when someone tells you this is the big reveal, it's not quite there yet. The company is still controlling the story. And as far as the growth, I'll be straight with you. The growth is real and it's crazy. From an $87 million run rate in January 24, $1 billion by December 2024, and $9 billion by the end of 2025. $14 billion in February, $30 billion in April. By May, they're calling it $47 billion. For context, Salesforce took about 20 years to reach $30 billion in annual revenue. Anthropic hit a $30 billion run rate in under 3 years. Nobody in B2B software had a curve that looks like this. But where I do want you to slow down, almost every number you just heard is run rate. That's a good month multiplied by 12. The actual annual revenue last year was $10 billion, not $30 billion, not $47 billion. And there's a second wrinkle that the analyst in me can't really ignore. Anthropic reports revenue from cloud resellers like AWS and Google on a gross basis, counting total end customer spend as revenue, which inflates top line figures relative to net reporting peers. So the valuation is built on top of a top line, flattered by accounting choices the public S-1 will eventually have to unpack. What I actually care about, and what you probably should too, isn't the revenue line. It's the part that they're not showing yet. What does it cost to make that revenue? Amazon has agreed to invest up to $25 billion, securing up to 5 gigawatts of compute capacity. Gigawatts. We're talking like Back to the Future. That's not a software cost structure. That's a utility. So Anthropic is winning. They timed this to plant a flag before OpenAI, which is smart. And the last round priced them at $965 billion, and a $1 trillion debut is the bull case, not the current number. But a confidential filing by Silence is not proof yet. The numbers that matter are the gross margin under all that compute, and they still haven't shown it. Until they do, the near $1 trillion tag is a story. It's not a balance sheet. Let's watch for the public S-1, and that's the day this gets a little more real. And our last story, ShipStation Global, what this merger actually means. Let's talk about a deal that closed June 1st, because if you're selling anything online, this one probably touches you. WEX Group and Octane merged. The new thing is called ShipStation Global. And yeah, the name tells you who won the branding fight, but it doesn't tell the whole story. Octane owns ShipStation, Stamps.com, Metapack, and Packlink. WEX brings the freight side, parcel, and LTL brokerage, plus a sales force north of 2,300 people. Put it together and you've got a company moving over 3 billion shipments a year for more than 3 million customers. But what's actually going on is that Thoma Bravo is behind this, the private equity firm and software company that's been hoovering up logistics tech for years. CVC and the old WEX investors keep a minority slice, so this is a private equity roll-up. Software is actually being bolted onto a freight brokerage, and they're pointing the whole thing at small and medium-sized businesses. The pitch is the part I'll watch. They're saying SMBs have been stitching together 5 tools just to ship, and now it's one platform. Maybe. Label printing software living in the same house as a freight desk is an idea. Whether a 10-person brand actually wants this carrier negotiation and its Shopify shipping behind one login? That's a strange bet. My honest read is that the software was actually the crown jewel here, not the freight. ShipStation has the merchant relationships. WEX has carrier muscle and margin. Thoma Bravo wants to cross-sell one into the other. Looks great on a whiteboard, like the word synergy. But execution is sometimes ugly. Welding together a sales-led freight culture to a self-serve software culture kills more deals than the slide deck maybe would like to admit. And I think you'll want to watch churn numbers over the next couple of years. This could be the opportunity that ShipStation competitors are waiting for, and that will ultimately tell you if it worked. I'm not fully sold yet, and given that the CEO is the WEX CEO, it seems like, despite the branding, they actually have the upper hand. And freight companies don't tend to treat software companies very well in the long term. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have 5 items on the menu today. First, Salesforce announced it signed a definitive agreement to acquire Tenfold for a reported $1 billion to $1.5 billion. Salesforce continues to follow Oracle's acquisition playbook. Second, Tractor Supply acquired VIP Pet Care for an undisclosed amount. Tractor Supply continues to acquire complementary services. Third, Interlux Group, a luxury marketing agency, announced it acquired Admixt to acquire performance marketing capabilities. Fourth, UPS announced it's invested $50 million to support automotive and industrial supply chains, another non-consumer investment. And finally, conversational commerce platform RepAI announced it's raised $6.2 million in follow-on funding that will be used for product development and go-to-market growth. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast. your essential e-commerce digest. I write a newsletter you can subscribe to at watsonweekly.com, and you can find the podcast there also.